welcome to another episode of Life, Love, and Pursuit of Phi. I am your host, Greg Gaskin.
I'm your host, Austin Kolb. Today we have guest Kim Fitzpatrick. How are you, Kim?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well. Can't complain.
Yeah. So, Kim, you're joining us today. And from our previous conversations, you are in real estate. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. In short-term rental real estate.
So how did your journey into short-term rental real estate begin?
Interesting story, actually. I am a single mom, and when I got divorced, I was financially ruined, for lack of a better word, and got a job as a teacher, and that's what I had been doing before, you know, before, and went back to teaching and tried to figure out a way to afford for my kids to be in school and sports and extracurriculars and all the things they like to do. And I thought, well, I'm really terrible at driving directions and my driving record's not so great, so I can't really do Uber. So I looked into Airbnb and I started with renting out an extra room in my house. And let's be real, it's not an extra room. It was actually, what I did was rent out the main ensuite bedroom bathroom because I could make the most money in the least amount of space, which then my two kids shared a room and I took the third tiny bedroom. And then we had the joy of the three of us sharing the hall bathroom together. And you know, if you're a mom with two little boys, that's not ideal, but the paychecks were nice from, Airbnb is what I used to start with. And it was really successful and more successful than I thought. So in addition to house hacking, I eventually was able to purchase a condo nearby my house and started renting that out. And that was pretty successful as well. And looked, and I got deeper into this whole world of short-term rentals. And with that, I learned better markets that were going to be more profitable. And I branched out and bought a cabin in the Smoky Mountains. And it's been great and as successful as I expected. And so that with the money that I made from that, I was able to, and also I sold my condo in Portland, Oregon, and with all of that, I then branched out to Destin, Florida and beyond. And so that's kind of my journey. Just one created another, created another, created another. So it was way more successful than just paying for after school sports.
Nice. So how did you, I guess, overcome, I guess, like the mental block of being like, all right, I'm going to give up my master bedroom and ensuite and rent out to a like total stranger? Or was it like total strangers?
Yeah, it was total strangers. And that was a big step, I have to admit. And I did not have a lot of support because people looked at me like I was crazy. I'm a single woman. I have kids. I'm definitely going to get murdered this way. All the horror stories, people would just constantly put the horror stories in front of me. But you know, you test it out. And, I just love people. And I think I'm friendly and outgoing and I don't mind them in my space. Some people are like, ooh, home is my place, but I like people. So it met my personality. And then, you know, you try it once and you meet a lovely, amazing person. You have a great conversation. You're like, okay, I can do that again. And again, you have another equally great conversation with a new person that's totally different and awesome. And it just kind of keeps snowballing to where you just really grow to be fascinated. I mean, it was great for me because like one time I had this family from Japan here as husband and wife, and I woke up in the morning and I was thinking, what is that smell? It was really early. And it was just this amazing smell that I hadn't smelled before. Well, they had made an entire Japanese spread with miso soup and like all the little bowls in my kitchen, had been used with this beautiful meal. And I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, we just had a cultural experience in our house on a Tuesday morning before we left for work and school. And that's really what it is more often than, you know, murderers and drug dealers and all of that. So you learn to weed guests out and know, you know, who's going to be a good fit. But ultimately, it's a lot of great stories.
Okay. Do you have any horror stories at all?
I think if you're in this business long enough, you eventually do. My horror stories aren't so horrible. I did have one party where the police were called and it was my condo was overoccupied and they were really obnoxious and my cleaners were upset because they left a huge mess and the HOA at the condo association was not happy with me. But it's from those situations where you really learn to tighten down your systems and to really develop better vetting processes. And you learn how to put in your content things that attract the people that you want and repel the rest. And so I'm glad that it happened ultimately. I mean, it was not my favorite thing at the time, but ultimately it really helped me refine my system. And it helps me to help other people too, because I've gone through it. So I know now what attracted them and how to avoid that in the future.
Did you have anyone that you kind of looked up to or that you got the experience to go into this business from? Any books, podcasts, people?
That is a great question. I started how most people start, where you start doing it and you go on Pinterest and you feel like, how do I set up a room to make it a great room for guests? And how do I do this? And how do I do that? And eventually I found YouTube, and I found this YouTuber that was putting out a lot of content, helping hosts, and I really got a lot of value from his free content. And then he put on a conference, and I was like, I have to go. I have to go to this conference. How much does it cost? And the cost was taking a while to come out. And then at one point, he announced the cost, and it was probably a lot higher than I ever expected it would be. And I was just kind of threw my hands up like, darn, I really wanted to go, but I can't afford it. But then he said he was going to announce a scholarship winner and you could apply for a scholarship. And I will tell you, the application process was similar to applying for college scholarships. It was a lot of work. I had to really put myself out there and share my story, and it resonated with him, and I won the scholarship. And truly, with that mentoring from that conference, from that guru, it really catapulted me. So I would say that 100%, the people that you surround yourself with will help you to grow more than just doing it on your own. And so that's when I really started to take off.
That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear you got the scholarship.
Me too. I can't imagine. I mean, I would have not gone to the conference, and that was a limiting mindset as well. And now I know that, the conference was almost $3,000, but shoot, like, I've been able to quit my job now. So just a couple years after going to that conference, where I was really just like a little baby in this whole thing, a rookie, I was able to do so well that I don't have to work a W-2 anymore. I can focus on this. So that $3,000 is a drop in the bucket now looking back, but I didn't know what I didn't know at first. So I'm glad I won it too.
Good. So in a timeline perspective, when would you say you got your first property, and how many properties do you have now year to date?
How many properties do I have is such an interesting question, because some have, I'm buying, I'm selling. So it's constantly sort of that price is adjusting. I also have done some co-hosting and property management. So I have some that I own that I manage, and some that I don't own that I manage, and some that I do both. So currently I have my home in Portland that I rent out when I travel. So it is my primary residence, but I travel about 50% of the time. And so that counts as one. And then I have my cabin in Tennessee that was my big move. And I also have a condo in Destin, Florida. And I added recently a camper, a vintage camper, onto the property in Tennessee when, you know, this market has been kind of crazy lately with interest rates and just everybody just being in a feeding frenzy to buy new property, that I kind of just wanted to stay out of the fray. So I went a different route. I got creative. I bought a vintage camper and I added it to the property so that I could make more money with what I had and just kind of wait for the frenzy to die down. And so, and then I've also owned a cabin in the North Georgia mountains with a business partner. So.
Nice. That's fantastic. Have you, so do you, you know, buy, rent, rehab and repeat, which is the BRRRR method, or do you, you just do a lot of everything?
I've tried a lot of things. I think I have a little bit of ADHD in me, so everything looks fun and shiny and I pursue it until it's not worth pursuing anymore. And then you have to look at your numbers too. And really I am more of a nerd than I like to openly admit. And I do really crunch my numbers. And when I was looking at the numbers in the condo in Portland, they were not nearly as profitable as, say, the cabin in Tennessee. And I knew that they wouldn't be as profitable as the condo in Florida. So that's when I decided to sell the condo, take the equity, and put it to something that is going to produce better for me. I don't really want to acquire 100 doors or whatever. It's not my mission, because what I do is real high touch. I love to make sure that my guests have a great experience, and I talk to them a lot. And I mean, not talk, but like message them and make sure they're taken care of and provide value above and beyond four walls and a bed. So I don't want to have 100 doors, because I want to make everybody have a fabulous vacation experience. And I really want to bring quality to what I do, not just quantity. So I squeeze every penny out of the properties that I have by offering that exceptional hospitality. And then I want to help other people get into this too, because I really enjoy it. And I love having these conversations. And so any consulting that I can do to help other people is great for me. I feel like it's giving back and really helping other people get to where I am, because I didn't do it on my own either.
Nice.
Now, do you still primarily advertise your listings on, say, Airbnb versus like other sites like Vrbo or anything?
Airbnb does drive most of the traffic to my listings, and I do get the most bookings from Airbnb. I also am listed on Vrbo, and there's a unique place here in Portland, another startup company that is using short-term rentals as business places, office spaces, meeting spaces that are not corporate. So for people that are struggling to work from home and don't want to go into work, it's kind of that intermediary. So it's rentals by day instead of by night. There's no need to wash linens from the beds and showers and things like that. So it's a really great startup. And I'm a part of that here in Portland. And then I've got some of my listings on a site for, it's called Fab Stays, and it's really marketing to niche markets. Some people will use other sites like for travel nurses. I just pick what works for what I have to offer and try to connect to the guests that are going to be ideal guests for me. But yes, of course, Airbnb and Vrbo are the big two, and you have to have those, and you have to have a direct booking site at some point too, so that people can bypass them and come straight to me and save some fees. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Nice. So I think you said you do a little bit of consulting. Tell us about that.
I do. So people have come to me for so long and say, I love what you do. I love your story. How do I get involved? I don't know what market to pick, or how do you come up with a down payment? Do you have something creative, or how do you speak to guests or avoid the parties? I didn't avoid them all the time, but I do now. So I offer a consulting service through strsource.com is our website. And then we have a Facebook group called Short-Term Rental Source Group. And it's me and another entrepreneur. She has a multi-state cleaning company, and she is truly all, she does all of the back end stuff so that I can talk to all of the people, and she keeps us organized and keeps our content coming out. And she's a phenomenal partner in this. And I met her through my property in Destin when I was having a not so great cleaning experience. Her company came to the rescue, and we formed a bond personally, and we are now in business together consulting. So she provides the boots on the ground and a lot of help when it comes to cleaners and hiring and working with them. And then I provide all of that remote hosting and all of that. So we complement each other very well, and we really feel like we can serve a market where people are trying to get into this, and we can help them overcome that initial, how do I do it all? There's so much. And there is a lot when you get started. So we want to help hold hands a little bit and walk you through it and get you going.
So you mentioned something when you go into a new market, you know, I think you said you've been to a few markets. How do you kind of determine what, you know, how long does it really take you to make a determination if that market is worth investing in?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That you really want to do your research up front, because you don't want to be nursing a bad investment along. It's better sometimes to just cut it off and find a better one, but you really want to do your research up front. And in the past, you look on all of the realtor listings, and then you compare on maps to where it is located and where the cool things are located and how many people are coming to the area and what are they coming for and what is the demographic of them. And it can be overwhelming looking for properties. It's not just finding a pretty house that, you know, is your dream house. You need to know bedroom counts and like, cause how many people are coming as a group? Is it couples coming to this area? Is it large groups coming for reunions? And, actually I have another friend in the business who I met at that conference that I got the scholarship to, and we've stayed connected, and he has built a software up called STR Insights, which some call the AirDNA killer. There's a lot of data out there, and he's a data guy. And so he has this software tool that if you sign up, he really hones in on markets and helps you find particular homes in particular markets that are really great for cash flow and investing. And they are also STR friendly, because you need to know regulations too. So it helps to know who has the software and how to use it, and really cut down on that time, because that can be a time consuming process if you don't have all of the tools and the know-how on how to use them.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, the biggest thing that prevents me from going out of state right now is that, you know, that's a lot of work to study another market, right? I think that you kind of have to be in the market and, like, see it firsthand rather than take someone's word for it. But that's just, especially with, like, the current market that we're in, it makes you just kind of want to, like you said, push the brakes on it and, like, see what happens. Because you might be able to snatch up a few good deals.
Yeah, I would say my tip is, if you're hearing other people talk about markets, it's probably already topped out. You're probably not at the beginning of the wave. You're probably in the middle of the herd. If other people are telling you about the market, for instance, I think the Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia have been oversold by realtors trying to get on this frenzy wave of buying. And I'm not sure that all of them are acting super ethically. And Blue Ridge, Georgia, I'm in groups of people that have cabins there, and all they're saying is, I can't get occupancy. I don't know where the guests are. How do you stay booked? What are you doing? And they're worried, because they bought at the top of the market when everybody was buying, because they felt like they had to get in. And I just cringe, because I just think, if we can't be going, we can't be following the herd. That's not where the profit is. We have to be a little bit more attuned to things. And it's hard to know. It's a huge world and there is a lot of opportunity, but where do you go and how do you find that? And that's why these tools really do help. I suggest you find places you love that you know people are already going and that you have a connection to, so that when times get a little lean, you don't just cut it out, but you're willing to work on it because you love it. And it's a project and it's not always easy. Often it is, most of the time, honestly, it is. I'm not going to say it's not, but there is work involved. And when it does come time to do the work, you got to also love the location and the property to want to keep like mentally investing in it.
Okay. So are you going to stay in residential or are you going to, you know, also expand into multifamily or commercial?
I am not quite ready for multifamily commercial. I was in negotiations on a hotel in Costa Rica at one point, and I was really, really excited to make that something special with unique spaces and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it didn't go through, and I think that was for the best. It was an exciting process to go through, and I learned a ton. But for right now, I think I'm just going to sit tight with, I want to say single family homes, but I do have a condo in my portfolio and I do have a vintage camper in my portfolio. I love unique, individual, really fun places with a lot of character. I don't see myself having 200 doors ever because I have a hard time finding the character when I'm mass producing all of that. But I also like to stay open too. And I don't like to say no to possibilities. I like to hear them out and hear the positives and the negatives. And who knows what will come.
That's fantastic. Thanks. Do you have a good way for people to reach out to you so that, you know, they can ask you questions or use your consulting services?
Yeah, I would say the best way to reach out to me is my Facebook page. I feel like I am always on Facebook or Messenger, and it's just under my name, Kim Fitzpatrick. And I think my picture is probably a representation of what I look like here. So if they can see me, you can find me. And then the other ways to get a hold of me are at strsource.com or the Short Term Rental Source Group. And we talk a lot there, and I'm going to try to put out video content and written content, and then you'll be able to access our courses and our freebies on the website as well. So my name, strsource.com, or the Short-Term Rental Source Group on Facebook is the best.
Perfect. For all those who are listening on Spotify, Pandora, Google Podcasts, we will go ahead and include Kim's links on our Facebook page so that you guys can find her easier. Greg, did you have any other questions?
Thank you for that.
I saw one question be, when you first started out, how did you come up with like furnishing your Airbnbs?
Oh, that's the fun part. I love that part. Often, I really honestly love it when I purchase a home that is already furnished and the furnishings come with it, because it means you just kind of weed out the bad and bring in the better. But when there have been times when I've furnished from scratch, from empty, and that is an undertaking. I mean, I think back to the days of when you leave for college, your parents' house for college, you at least have like their leftover kitchen stuff and your stuff from your childhood bedroom to take with you. And then you slowly add to it. But this is like 0 to 100. And honestly, places like, why am I blanking all of a sudden? It's everybody does it. Amazon. Like the one place where everything is, right? I use Amazon for a lot of things. I use Wayfair. And then when I get local, I go into Facebook Marketplace. And if I'm not local before a closing, I definitely hunt down what are the furniture stores in the area? Where is the Target? Where is the Walmart? Where is the, you know, all of the Home Goods and those kind of places. And you just get resourceful and you get familiar with the area via maps. So, you know, okay, Home Depot is right here. Lowe's is right there. And you just get to work. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. There's always tears involved because I work way too hard and I put in too many hours. And there will be one night in the middle of setting it all up where I'm crying and like, why do I do this to myself? And then the next morning I'm like, I'm so excited to tackle this again today. But it's just part of the roller coaster and it's a really rewarding feeling. So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. It's been fun chatting about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been another episode of Life, Love, and the Pursuit of FI with your host, Austin Culp.
And Greg Gaskin.
And we hope everyone has a good night. Thank you again, Kim, for coming on.
Yeah. Bye.